streets or behind the scenes, but there is a wind of change at work here, isn't there?
Definitely. They're moving fast on both levels, I think. As it happened, you may say, a coincidence, the military chiefs were in Washington when this latest wave of unrest broke out. I've no doubt that they got some marching orders from the American government there, and one of those would have been not to fire on the people in Tahrir Square, because the last thing the U.S. needs is one of its client states opening fire, a kind of Tiananmen Square type massacre. That would be a disaster for everyone. You're right to identify the increasing importance of Mr. al-Baradei. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is the most powerful force in Egypt, has just indicated in the last few hours that he would be acceptable to them as a person to negotiate with the regime for the exit of the dictator and his family and crew.
Well, that's not exactly handing him the laurels, is it? That's just putting him up as a potential spokesperson to run things.
Sure, but I think he'd be acceptable to Washington too. Yeah. He wouldn't have been their first choice, but given the collapsing situation in Cairo from the U.S. point of view, al-Baradei is probably the best interlocutor they're going to get.
You mentioned the States quite a lot in your opening remarks there. Do you think that whatever happens, although America understands and has made it clear, not in so many words, but has made it clear that it's not their business, it's their concern but not their business, nevertheless, that the result will have to be something that's palatable to the White House?
Well, the problem is it is their business, because Egypt is the second biggest recipient of U.S. aid, $1.5 billion a year. Secondly, Egypt has been a linchpin of U.S. policy in the region, towards Israel in particular. And if Egypt were to fall to the democratic mass, if you like, without any kind of mediation by the U.S., all sorts of U.S. interests could go, and the relationship with Israel would be pretty prominent amongst them. So I suspect, though it may look like a swan on the surface, the Obama administration's paddling like hell underneath, that's for sure.
And at the same time, we've heard from King Abdullah in Saudi Arabia saying that he supports Mubarak, that the protests should end now. Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah has also put out his calls of support for Mubarak. Now, that may be fear of a vacuum, or it could be stronger, more tangible support than we'd think.
Well, I think it's fear that they're next, to be frank. The regime on the West Bank, because that's the only place Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas has any position, is under very real threat because of the Palestine papers, which Al Jazeera and The Guardian revealed over the last 10 days or so. And as for the Saudi monarchy, it is bereft of any public support and could topple at any time, indeed maybe the next domino to fall. So in a sense, it's the Mandy Rice Davis point. They would say that, wouldn't they?
Indeed. Now, it's one of those things, a bit like a financial crash in the West, where everyone longs for the status quo, when all along they knew the status quo had limited shelf life because it wasn't really working. Mm. We've seen this 30, 40-year status quo in the Middle East now. We all understand, more or less, how it works. Mm. Trade principles for having reliable allies in terms of the Israel diametric and in terms of Jordan and Egypt and the roles they can play in that. But it does look as if someone's pulling at this ball of wool and it could start unraveling.
It's, well, not to mix the metaphor, but it's the point about the straw and the camel's back. You don't know it's the last straw until the camel's back is actually broken. If you did know, you wouldn't put that last straw on. The people in the Arab world have had to suffer the ignominy, the indignity, the humiliation, really, of being unable to help liberate Palestine, of losing one Arab country after another to foreign occupation. And on top of that now comes the recession and real economic hardship.
I want to get another question briefly, which is, you know, do the Arab people in all these 30 years, and they're becoming more educated, and the universities are fine in places like Egypt and so, have they gathered enough now yet to start running things the way they want to run
them? I think
them?
There's a critical mass now of desire and capability, and the old order is collapsing. A new order is being born. We better get over it and get engaged with it. I'm persona non grata today in Egypt. I was deported from there, but I'll be back there pretty soon, and you'll see that the person who was persona non grata was Mubarak.
I don't doubt it. George Galloway, thanks very much indeed for coming and talking to us today. This is Sky.